Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We're continuing our thought, alignment for your assignment today. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 24, if you will. I've used this text, you know, maybe in the last year, but I got a whole different take on it. I call the message today breadcrumb trails, breadcrumb trails. Everybody remember the story of like Hansel and Gretel? They wanted not, you know, they want to find their way back home, so they left some breadcrumbs, and anyway, that's a whole different, that's a really a horrible children's story, by the way. I remember thinking when my parents would read me Hansel and Gretel, like, she wants to bake children in an oven? This is not a good story. Anyway, Luke chapter 24, this is after the resurrection of Jesus, before the ascension, before he went to heaven. And it says, "Then behold, two of the disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they didn't know him." They didn't recognize it was Jesus. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" They're sad. We'll talk about it more in a bit. But I mean, they're walking along and they're sad. And that's bothering Jesus because they should have believed. But they didn't believe. That's why they're sad. And somebody had even told them that he rose from the dead and they didn't believe that. "Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened here in these days?'" Verse 21 says, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Verse 25, "Then Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the Old Testament, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.'" So Jesus gave them an Old Testament lesson and just showed them quickly in the Old Testament books, this is, they were talking about me. And then they persuaded him to stay for supper, the Bible says. After dinner, says verse 30, "Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" There's a difference between reading the Bible and having your heart warmed as you read it. That's revelation knowledge. That's God, that's the aha word, the now word. That's God speaking something out of his book right to your spirit. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was just talking with us? Now we understand why. I want to weave in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's the next verse, by the way, after, "And we know that he works all things together for good for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined." Everybody say predestined. See, sometimes we get the idea of predestined. We're talking about destiny this month. We get the idea that predestination means you're a puppet on a string. That God's in control of everything and that you're just along for the ride. And whatever, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. If it happened, it must be God. And it's just not true. Predestination is not about every little turn you make. It's about the ultimacy of God's plan to form the image of Jesus and stamp that image on your spirit. Let's pray together one more time. Father, thank you that we're not puppets on a string. Thank you that we have free will and choice, but we ask you to help us to use that free will and choice to say yes to you, to follow you, to stand with you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you missed a couple weeks ago, it was we had our Labor Day weekend, and we launched the new song and that kind of thing. And if you missed that, we're talking about Alignment for Your Assignment is a study on destiny and purpose. We said since the beginning of time, man has searched for the overall meaning of life. It's normal, it's natural, we all do it, which can never be discovered without divine revelation from the Creator himself. We said that inventors or designers are the only ones who truly know the entirety of the purpose and potential for their creations. And we said living life without understanding why you're living equals emptiness, frustration, and unfulfillment. Something I read recently, just a little article, started with this headline and kind of intrigued me. It said, "Focus on the yellow brick road and not on Oz." I was like, well, that's interesting. And I was starting to have this thought about breadcrumbs. This is what it said. "Let's face it, events are far more exciting than process. But all the growth that you seek and we seek is in the process. It's not in the outcomes. Remember in the movie The Wizard of Oz, along the road, Dorothy had these three life-changing encounters. With a scarecrow who needed brains or intelligence, with a tin man who lacked heart, and with the lion who lacked courage. The article said, I want you to understand that along the yellow brick road, in the process, towards your Oz, is where you will find the increased intelligence you seek, whether it be mental or emotional, relational, spiritual, and so on. The increased heart that you seek, the deeper connection with other human beings, the deeper levels of empathy and love and kindness and compassion, the greater courage that you seek to overcome the challenges you have in life and help others with theirs, all of these things and more are on the road. They're on the road. They're on the journey. They're part of the process. They're not what someone hands you behind the curtain. They're not gifts. They're things you grow and work with and for along the way. And that's what we need to understand as we talk about destiny and purpose, that we're being grown into something. I had a great talk with my life group the other night about sanctification. Sanctification sounds like this big, heavy-duty religious word. It just simply means that you're being purified or made holy over time. You're being made saintly. You're set apart for God's purpose. That's what it means. And we talked about the fact that sanctification is instantaneous the moment you receive Jesus, but it's also progressive along the road. It's not one or the other, it's both. And a lot of denominations have fought and formed over that argument right there over whether it's instant or is it progressive. It's both. We were changed instantly and made saintly by what Jesus has done. But the Holy Spirit's work isn't done then. He's still working on you. He's still working on me. And we're still standing in the power of His blood, His forgiveness, His strength, His compassion. And He's working in us all those things. And the problem is we want this. When we talk about breakthrough a lot here or miracles, fruit is grown. Gifts are given. Don't misunderstand the two. The gifts of the Spirit are awesome. We love that. And we receive those gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit has grown over time. Love, joy, peace, patience, endurance, and so on. We don't get them from behind the curtain. We don't get this instantaneous infusion of perfect everything. One of the greatest blessings of living life with the Lord over a few decades is that I'm not in as much of a hurry as I used to be for everything to happen now. I just want to walk with Him. If I could get this into my younger friends, You don't have to stress out or grind your mental gears to figure out what you should do for your career or who you're supposed to be. If you'll walk with Jesus, he'll show you the way. And it is a walk, it's not a run. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I know that's cliche, but it's true. And if you'll ask him to open your eyes at every age and every stage and every facet of life, you'll see, I believe, a trail of breadcrumbs God has left in your life to get you onto the right path and keep you there. One author calls it God winks, little coincidences. I had a friend tell me years ago, the definition of coincidence is when God chooses to remain anonymous. And I love that. I love that. There are coincidences that aren't coincidences at all. That's where the predestined part comes. That you reach this plateau, this mile marker, this moment, this challenge. And suddenly something happens to confirm that you're on the path or to get you back, to remind you to get back on the path. The disciples met Jesus along the road in our text, but they didn't recognize him. Until something happened, he gave them the bread and he blessed it like he did the night that he was betrayed. And this is a couple days later. And in the doing of that and the speaking of the word, their hearts were strangely warmed, and then they suddenly recognized him. His word will warm you too. And I believe that it's very possible that you can be in such a discouraging place at times that you're walking with him, but you don't recognize him. You don't feel anything. You don't feel goosebumps. I love the goosebumps of faith. I love experiencing the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there are moments the Holy Spirit is right there with me, by me, beside me, within me, that I'm not looking for him, so I don't know he's there. It's the same with all of us. Couple things about destiny and purpose. First of all, this. Destiny implies destination. Even the word destiny implies destination. It was on the road to Emmaus, a 7-mile journey, hours of walking. They didn't run over a 100-yard dash or, 400 meters. They walked 7 miles in this conversation. And suddenly there's a stranger there, but the stranger was Jesus. He was there. They didn't know. They didn't recognize him. And I want you to realize that he walked with them and he spoke his word to strengthen them, but he didn't explain everything. He didn't explain. He shared, but he didn't give the why or the what. He simply brought forth the truth. His presence brought comfort. It brought warmth. It brought peace. But it didn't fix everything that they were feeling. Thank you for that overwhelming response. It didn't fix what they were feeling. They were still feeling like he was gone, like they were confused, like maybe they'd followed the wrong leader, like maybe he failed, maybe the devil had won. They had all these things going through their mind, and they're talking about them in this conversation. And Jesus didn't go, okay, there it is. It's all fixed. He didn't do that. He didn't blink it in. He didn't wiggle his nose like Samantha on Bewitched. He didn't blink it like I Dream of Jeannie. He didn't make it happen. He walked with them the whole distance. Destiny. And all he did at the end was reveal himself. I was the one walking with you. And he did it through his word. Destiny is unfolded over time. Actually, here's some really good news for you. It takes a lifetime. It's not a 10-year time. It's not a 3-year plan. It's not a 20-year plan. It's a lifetime plan. And over that lifetime plan, he will reveal certain things over time. And he'll only reveal what you can handle at the time. If you don't know yet, maybe it's a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. Especially the why. Because a lot of us just want to question, why? It's not just one thing. But destiny is multi-layered. And while he's working out your destiny, he's working out other people's destiny, and they have to intersect and interact. Come on. And that's why it's just not the one little quick thing. I read this comment by Dr. Steve Robinson, said this: I view adversity differently now in my life. I see it as an opportunity to grow, not as an impediment in my path. I thought of what Pastor Sharon Kelly said last week about the runner, Sydney, in the Olympics. Tremendous, tremendous story. And just overcoming the hurdles. I never thought about it. The hurdles when you're trying to run the 400 meter hurdles. My gosh, how much trouble must it be just to lift your legs to get over that next obstacle. But that's destiny. The great promise is this: God leaves breadcrumb trails for your destiny. He leaves little clues along the path. You don't have to figure out with your head who you're supposed to be or what you're called to do. If you'll simply walk with Jesus and pay attention to everything he reveals. Pay attention. When I was 22 years old, I felt the call to ministry, and I was in the insurance business, and I went to my pastor, and he kind of talked me out of it. He said, man, if you can do anything else and be satisfied, please do something else. I said, well, that's a surprise that he'd be that kind of discouraging to me. And I was ready to go to, seminary training. And I say that tongue in cheek because it's the death of most pastors' passion to go to seminary. Training is important, but seminary just can steal your fire. And thank God that didn't happen because what my pastor said kind of put me on a different path. And then I wound up doing more of an apprenticeship, and I went back and got my degrees later. I got my degrees after I'd already been in ministry for 10, 15 years. Because then I already had the fire and already knew who I was supposed to be. So God brought me around a whole different path. And then ironically, and some of you know this story, but when we'd been here to start the church in the early 90s, we were sitting at Thanksgiving dinner one day, and the day I went to tell my pastor I was called to preach, and he discouraged me. I wasn't yet in the insurance business. I was actually filling applications for that, but I was working for my father-in-law down here in Bellevue in an old tire business, and we're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner a couple years after we started the church. And my father-in-law, a great man, but had not always been walking strong with God. He was a business mind. And he started to kind of get teary-eyed as we were sharing what we were thankful for. He said, well, I have a confession to make. I said, what's that? He said, you know that day that you took off from BP Tires and you went down to talk to the pastor about your calling? And I said, yeah, I remember it hit me hard. He really discouraged me. He goes, you know why he discouraged you? I said, no. He said, I called him when you were on your way to his office. And I said, I don't want my daughter and my grandchildren to live in the poverty of ministry. He said, do everything you can to stop him. And we all had a good cry because we realized that God hadn't stopped my destiny. He had revealed the path and the timing for that path. You know, the Bible says to everything there's a purpose and a time for every purpose under heaven. Had I gotten encouragement from my pastor, we would have taken a completely different route, maybe not been baptized in the Holy Spirit the way we were and found our way through Orlando and all those things. But the ironic thing now, as we sat there on that Thanksgiving, is my father-in-law was working for me. As he said, I tried to stop God from what he wanted to do with your life, and look, here we are. My friends, you just gotta love God and trust God, because when I thought back to how I felt when I was discouraged, I felt a certain way. But wherever you are now, if you'll put your hand in his hand, your destiny's not done. His love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out the door. His love is still working for you, but at some certain moments, you have to open up to those breadcrumbs and say, God, just show me then. Show me the next step. Show me the way forward. Show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me who I am. Destiny always partners with God's purpose. Your destiny is about your potential to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what it's about. Some will have influence over a few people, and some will have influence over hundreds of thousands of people. Only God knows your influence. But, you know, we read a story years ago, a study that said even people who are introverts, that don't like to talk in crowds, will influence over 10,000 people in their lifetime. An introvert. See, some of you come in here and you try to hide. Some of you back row people. I love you. Love you. But some of you like to sit toward the back. You're trying to hide. Well, you can run, but you can't hide. You know? Usually people, especially if they've been in other churches and they're coming into a new church, they definitely want to hang out in the back two rows because they don't want anybody to see them because they love the word, but maybe you got burned in another church. You got burnt out or burnt. Who hasn't? I've been the pastor here almost 35 years. I can't count the number of times I've been burnt. But thank God for his glory and grace because I've been turnt. Destiny is about purpose. Listen, you can reach people tomorrow that wouldn't even listen to me, give me the time of day. Just because I am labeled a pastor or a preacher, and people in our culture today, preachers are despised. I don't know if you know that. Preachers are mocked and despised largely in our culture today compared to 40 years ago. That's okay. I'm excited to be who God made me to be. But I'm also excited to impart and influence you because you are going to influence many more people than I can. They're going to listen to your life. They're going to look at your life. They're going to see. I want to say this, a couple more things and I'm done. Destiny is more caught than taught. Discipleship is great. We all need discipleship. My wife and I went, we snuck out on Wednesday and went to a midday movie. We never do this. I haven't been to a movie in Ocala since before COVID. And I went to Epic Theaters for the first time, by the way, and it was great. And we went to see a movie called The Forge. I encourage everybody to see it. And we may play it here when it comes out on streaming in a few months. We may play it here on a Wednesday night or a Friday night sometime because it's so powerful. And it's I can't even describe to you what it's about, but I'll say this. Every business person, every Christian business person needs to see this movie. Every person struggling with their destiny and who am I? Every young person needs to see this movie. It's very powerful. The Forge. I said to my wife, we sat in the movie theater, and right before it came on, I said, you know, this is weird, because she'd been asking me for a couple weeks to go, and I'd heard about it from Danny and Jessica Kelsey, how great it was. But right before the thing, the lights turn up and the movie goes in, I said, this is weird. She said, what? I said, I have no idea what this movie's about. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know who's in it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know who wrote it, produced it. I don't know anything. I don't even know if it's going to be any good, but I'm open. And then I proceeded to cry like a baby a few times in the movie. I got really misty. It's so powerful. And I encourage you because destiny is more caught than taught. It's received. Listen to this. Destiny is something you receive, conceive, carry, nurture, and birth. You get pregnant with vision. That's how you find out who you are, what you're supposed to do with your life, is you carry, you receive a seed. conception. You conceive something. If you don't know you're called, that's a misconception. It's received, conceived, carried, nurtured, and birthed. It comes to you in seed form. Your calling, your purpose in life, it comes to you in seed form. It's a little at a time. If God would have showed me the day that I felt called to ministry what all that meant, I'd have run for the hills. I'd have run the other direction so fast, he wouldn't have been able to find me. And he still would find me because he's God. The problem is, when God is on you or after you, and I say this to young people all the time, and it's true, you really only have only two choices over the lifetime, the easy way or the hard way. If you want to be stubborn and pretend he's not God, then be my guest. But you're going to go on a rough road. We all have ups and downs, but let me tell you, the straight and narrow road is the best path. Amen. You receive destiny. You receive it through intimacy with the Lord. Intimacy, not just praying a prayer, but intimacy. Father, I want to know you. Jesus, I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me. I need to know you. I want to experience you and encounter you in a real way. Show me who you are. Intimacy with the Lord. Give God time. I'm not saying you have to pray hours and hours, but I marvel at all these people that say things like, say a prayer. Say a prayer for me. Well, say a prayer. You know, I can say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord of my soul to keep. I mean, I can say a prayer, or I can pray a prayer. Amen. You know what I mean? There's a difference between saying a prayer, or in Duran Duran's case, they had a song called Save a Prayer. Don't even pray for me now. I want it for later. What does that mean? Say a prayer for me. No. When I put something up, by the way, on social media, and somebody says, pray for me, If I put my little praying emojis up, I'm stopping right then and I'm praying. I'm not sending good wishes. Oh, here's bouquets of good wishes for you. I'm sending good vibes out for you. Woo! Boy, that'll really help make a difference. I guess it's better than bad vibes. But prayer is out of that relationship with the Father. That intimate knowing and relationship. And out of that, you receive promises in a seed. Sometimes people discover their God-given purpose by going through certain obstacles and overcoming challenges in their lives. And they, through those challenges, they receive like a burden. I think of back in, some of you, when we talk about last century things, you kind of glaze over. But there was a crisis in Florida when before we had children, where Adam Walsh, a young boy, was kidnapped and killed down in South Florida. And some of you have seen John Walsh, his father, with the America's Most Wanted TV program all these years, been responsible for capturing thousands of criminals that are on the run. He got that burden because of the pain of losing his son, and he started a whole database for the nation for missing and exploited children. It was a life-changing thing for our nation, but it was through a tragedy that he went through himself. Sometimes through the worst pain, God turns it into a great platform. He takes those pains and makes them platforms for us. That's what he often does. Prevailing and persevering builds spiritual muscle for your destiny. So some of the things you're going through are some of the things that you're having to work through some things, and God is saying, okay, you're getting stronger. Good, good. You're getting stronger. You're getting built up in the right places. And finally this, destiny always requires faith. And faith is not a mental assent. It's not a mind thing. Faith is a trust thing. Faith is, do you trust God? Do you trust him? Cleopas and the other disciple in our text this morning were walking away from Jerusalem sad. They were leaving town because they thought it was over. And they were going home to wherever their place was in Emmaus, and they were headed backwards. They couldn't grasp that Jesus was the Messiah, but he suffered and died on a cross. They couldn't put all that together until Jesus spoke the word, and they could see the prophets had been saying it for generations. They expected the rescue of Israel was going to be primarily political. They thought kingdom conversations were framed in the light of temporary cultural misunderstandings. And it's just not. The kingdom of God goes forward no matter what happens with the global economic shutdown of 2008 or the pandemic of 2020. The kingdom goes forward. The kingdom advances, and God has his way. What's our takeaway today? Simply this encouragement. And we're going to finish up strong next week. God always leaves breadcrumbs to align you with your heavenly assignment. He always leaves breadcrumbs, signs, wonders, confirmations. We just need Holy Spirit wisdom and discernment to see them and interpret them correctly. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. We trust in you. We believe your promises. We give you glory and we give you honor. Thank you that you have a plan and purpose for every person here. Holy Spirit, I ask you that as I preach the word today, that you're warming hearts, that you're warming people up to that place of surrender, that place of availability. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. This may be a crossroads for you in the room, or maybe you're watching at home or wherever you are having to be right now. This message is not just for somebody else, it's for you. Why are you running away, trying to get out of town, get out of the way, or run away from the bad news when Jesus is going to be right there with you? He takes everything that looks like failure and he turns it around for his glory and for your good. That's the promise. If you just love him and accept that you are called according to his purpose, you have a ministry. I know a lot of people don't like that, but the fact of the matter is that our ministry as pastors is simply to empower you to find your ministry. Find your plan. Find your path. And help as many people along the way that you encounter. Quit waiting for some magical, instantaneous blink of an eye when it all changes. No, in the process, God's changing you into who you're supposed to be. If you'll be like Isaiah, the prophet, said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His glory filled the temple. And I saw my own sin and I was undone. And I said, God, how can you do anything with me? I'm a man with unclean lips, but here I am. Send me. Use me. Help me. In this room, and in this place, his presence is here. His power is here to walk with you and to show you who you are. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, there are moments where you have to, Jesus said this, he said, if you will confess me before men, in other words, if you'll tell people publicly that I'm your Lord, then I'll reveal and I'll talk to you about in heaven, and I'll talk to my Father about you. He said, but if you deny me publicly, if you won't say it publicly, then what are you doing? Because you don't really believe it. And I want to call you to that place right now before we dismiss the meeting in a few moments. And I want to call you to that place where you say, okay, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. If that's you, put your hand up right now. I want to pray for you before we go. Put your hand up. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Someone else over here. God bless you. Someone in the back there. I see you. This is the miracle. The miracle is this. The miracle is the is that fresh beginning where that hand says, okay, I'm making a public declaration and I'm not ashamed to admit that I need God. I need Jesus in my life. Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, everyone whose heart is open, everyone who responded today, everyone whose heart has been warmed by your word and the preaching of your word today. Lord, we just release your holy presence to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring salvation and joy. Everyone who raised your hand, everyone around, everybody say this with me out loud. Just say, Jesus, show me who you are. Show me who I am. I give you my life. I surrender my purpose. And I ask you to help me to stay on the path to live for you in Jesus' name. If you meant that, let me tell you something. We want to help you to grow. It's a big part of what comes next. It's not just a magic, mystical prayer. You pray, that's a beginning. In a few weeks, I think it's October 6th, we have a water baptism coming. Don't we, Pastor Chris? I think it's October 6th. That'd be a great time to make that public profession. If you've never done that before, maybe you've been walking with the Lord a while. If you've never made that public declaration through water baptism, by immersion, that's a great mile marker. That's a great place to make your declaration and make it public, okay? Anyway, if you receive something today, give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Praise God.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.